We can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus. Trust in you.
Hello, brethren. God bless you. We're so glad you can join us. And we've been having some wonderful studies here and studying the most recently the first fruits. And I left you kind of hanging out on a limb there with in Ezekiel 34. I thought I'd go back and explain some things since they're right in line with what we've been talking about. The first fruits manifestation of Jesus in the earth, you know. The Lord's planning to manifest himself in his people. And we're coming to the full manifestation of Christ in a first fruits body of believers. And we left off in Ezekiel 34, which ties right into something that fits very well with the man-child ministry and the bride and other things that we've studied. Well, as you saw in Ezekiel 34, the Lord was highly displeased with the shepherds of his people. He said basically that they fed themselves, but they didn't feed the sheep. They got fat off of fleecing the sheep, and his argument with the leaders was that they the diseased had they not strengthened, and neither had they healed that which was sick, and neither have they bound up that which was broken, and neither have they brought back that which was driven away, and neither have they sought that which was lost, but with force and with rigor they were ruled over, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And the Lord's argument was, and what God promised to do, he says, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and I will cause them to cease from feeding the sheep. We see that, folks. We see that now. We see many shepherds out there that they're not feeding the Word of God, and they're not spending any time in the Word, and they don't know enough about the Word to be able to teach it right anyway. So, but God's plan is in verse 15, I myself will shepherd my sheep. And I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. How can the Lord himself shepherd his sheep? Now, he's ordained that there be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to shepherd the sheep. But how can he himself shepherd the sheep? Isn't it that when the word of God is manifested in his people and the anointing of God is manifested in his people, two things that we have been speaking about, that God was going to pour out the latter rain in the form of a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a great anointing, and the unleavened bread, which he promised to share in the last 7 days before God's people went to be with him. Well, yes, when the word is manifested in someone, then the word can flow through that person, and God himself can be the shepherd. And but God gave us a parable here that I'd like to share with you a little bit about. He says in verse 22, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. He meant, of course, to the shepherds who are plundering them and feeding off of them and not necessarily feeding them or taking care of them. They shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up one shepherd over them. And he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Well, that's very interesting. I believe that most Christians that read this probably think that he's talking about David here. But this was almost 500 years after David's time. So he's definitely talking about a future David. Also, this was like 580 years before Jesus' time. Okay? So I would say another large portion of Christianity would say, well, this is talking about Jesus. Okay, well, I agree with that. Okay, but let me explain to you. You know, what we were saying earlier about Jesus being manifested in us. When Jesus is manifested in us, he's going to get to shepherd his own flock. That's his plan. I want to show you the timing of this, when this is actually going to happen. I'm going to start in Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, you know, the background of Hosea here is the, and many people apply this to only one thing, and that is that Israel was a harlot. Hosea married a harlot. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. The Lord has married two harlots. It was apostate Israel, and it's apostate church too. And it's, this parable applies to both. But verse 5 says, chapter 3 and verse 5 says, afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall come with fear unto the Lord and unto his goodness in the latter days. Afterwards shall the children of Israel. Okay, now who do the children of Israel represent? Some of you that have been following me a while already know, but some of you that may be coming in may not understand, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, now these things happened unto them, that is Israel, the Jews, by way of example. And the word example there is actually the word for figure or type. And they were written for our admonition, him speaking to Gentiles here, of course, upon whom the ends of the age are come. God used the Jews as a type and a shadow for the church. And truly, the church has made the exact same mistakes as the Jews have. Back to our verse in Hosea 3 and 5, he said this would happen in the latter days. Now, I want to point out to you that in the prophecy of Joel that was spoken of in Acts chapter 2, God said that that was a latter day fulfillment, that God would pour out his spirit in the latter days. Well, Peter spoke as though that happened in his day. Well, that's true, because let me point something out to you. He didn't make a mistake. It was in the latter days of the Jews' covenant that he was speaking. And now we have come to the latter days again, the latter days of the Gentile covenant, or I should say the church covenant. Okay? Joel's prophecy was twofold, too. It was the former rain and the latter rain. The former rain in Jesus' day, at the latter time, in the latter days of that covenant, and the latter rain in our day, which is in the latter days of our covenant. So there's two fulfillments of what's being spoken here about David. Jesus was the first fulfillment. In his day, he was the king of Israel. He was the anointed of the Lord. He came to rule. He was anointed, as of course kings were anointed. He received that anointing, and he ruled over the people of God. And the Pharisees, of course, didn't recognize their king. They persecuted him and tormented him. They were very much Sauls that weren't accepting David's anointing and dominion that was given unto him. By the way, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Some years ago, the Lord spoke to me in my study, and he said, I'm moving the Sauls out of the way, and I'm making room for the Davids. And he said, you're one of my Davids. But I don't say that to brag about me. I say it to tell you this, that God's got a corporate body of Davids. I'm going to prove that to you from the Scriptures. And it's coming in these days. This corporate body is coming to be manifested in these days. And it's none other than the man-child ministry. It's coming in these days. Okay? Jesus was the man-child in his day, and he was called the Son of David. He came to fulfill the prophecies of David in the latter days of the Jews. And Jesus, as we also saw, was a sign of something greater that was coming later. How could you say greater when you're talking about Jesus? Well, except for one thing. Jesus was manifested in a physical body in those days, and Jesus is being manifested in a corporate body in these days. And he said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. Jesus manifested in a corporate body for the purpose of doing around the world what he couldn't do in that original body. This was his plan, okay? So let's study this latter rain rule of David in these days, okay? Let me see if I can point out some timing to you. This is very interesting. Go to Jeremiah chapter 30. We're going to look at a little bit of timing here, when this is going to happen, and we're going to look at the nature of this David ministry too. When is the David ministry coming? Well, in Jeremiah 30, in the end of verse 3, he talks about that Israel would return to their land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Well, we know that there's a New Testament Israel that's also returning to their land, but also Old Testament Israel, or natural Israel, did return to their land as a sign. Okay? When was that? Of course, in these latter days. I'm going to read verse 4. And these are the words that Jeremiah spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Well, we're talking about here the woman in travail in the book of Revelation. What man is it that does travail with child? Well, it's the man-child who's bearing the fruit of Jesus Christ. See, I thought the woman brought forth the man-child. Yes, the woman is bringing forth, out of the woman is coming the man-child. But this man-child is mature and birthed because he bears the fruit of Jesus Christ, the child, the man-child, okay? Verse 7, when does this happen, by the way? This obviously happens in our day. According to Revelation chapter 12, it's at the beginning of the tribulation period that this is going to happen. And watch how he applies this to David now. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It's even the time of Jacob's trouble. Wow, you know Jacob's trouble, right? The tribulation, right? And, of course, New Testament Jacob's trouble. You know, the Christians are going through a time of trouble in the tribulation. But he shall be saved out of it, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more make him their bondman, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. When does this happen? Happens in the times of Jacob's trouble, in the times when the man-child is born, because that's who this is, the man-child. Okay? Therefore, fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be quiet and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, for I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have scattered thee. Do you understand that God's people have left spiritual New Testament Israel, has left their land, and turned to the nations? They've now become a part of the nations, patriotic to the nations, not realizing, of course, that we have one nation. We were grafted into the olive tree called all Israel, New Testament, spiritual Israel. We are one nation, Peter said. One holy nation, he said, of the people of God worldwide. He said we were one holy nation, a chosen generation. He's telling us in this text that he will make a full end of all of the nations. That's never happened before. Now you can see again that the timing of the David ministry, the man-child ministry, and Jacob's trouble is the end time. Okay? Verse 21, and their prince shall be of themselves, and their ruler shall proceed from the midst of them. There it is, the man-child being born. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is he that hath boldness to approach unto me, saith the Lord? and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the tempest of the Lord, even his wrath, is gone forth, a sweeping tempest, and it shall burst upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it. Yes, we're coming to the time when we're going to understand what these verses have been talking about all along. We are in the latter days, and God's wrath is about to be poured out, but God is sending new leadership for his people. The next verse, at that time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel. You know, if you go back to Romans chapter 11, and you find out that God broke off the natural Jews who were in unbelief, they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah and didn't receive the born-again experience. He broke them off. He grafted in the church. And then he went on to say, and so all Israel shall be saved. You understand when he says all the families of Israel, that now he's talking about us too. We're included in this. At that time, saith the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people that were left of the sword found favor in the wilderness. In the wilderness. Now, you know, Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation 17 tells us that the tribulation period is the wilderness. Let me give you one more verse before I move away from here. And it's in chapter 31 and verse 22. He says, how long wilt thou go hither and thither, thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. Again, once again, he's speaking about the same thing, okay? Now, we've pretty well proven that this David ministry is coming forth in these latter days, which he mentions several times there. Let's look at the David ministry in Jeremiah 33. This is an exciting thing, folks, especially a lot of you out there that are just kind of fed up with playing religion, and you're kind of fed up with a bunch of Hollywood preachers who don't necessarily do anything to feed the sheep and don't heal the sick, and don't do the things that ministers are called to do, who are believers, and don't have any anointing from God to really teach the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God. Well, God's sending an anointed ministry. No man will be able to take credit for this. It's the doing of God. It is going to be the grace of God. And no flesh will be able to glory for it, because everybody's going to know it's God and not man. And not man's ingenuity, not man's ability, not even man's great holiness. Jeremiah 33 and 15. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Now, you know, there's a lot of verses that talk about Jerusalem dwelling safely in the last days, folks. But I don't know if you read about physical Jerusalem being attacked by all nations and half the city taken and the houses rifled and the women ravished and so on and so forth. It doesn't sound like they're dwelling in safety. In fact, there's many verses that teach that. You know, he's not talking about natural Jerusalem dwelling in safety. He's talking about the Jerusalem Paul spoke about in Hebrews chapter 12 dwelling in safety. That not even a beast could touch that Mount Zion without being stoned. There is a place of safety. We've talked about it several times before, so I'm not going to go into it. But that's what he's talking about here. And the David that's coming, folks, is a spiritual David, not a physical David. And he rules in a spiritual capital city, not a physical capital city, over spiritual Jews, not physical Jews. Now, people worry about replacement theology because they think that the Christians who are grafted in while the Jews were broken off, that they're going to replace them physically. Well, that's not true. Obviously, that's not true. You're looking at a letter parable in the Old Testament and a spiritual fulfillment in the New Testament. Okay? So, follow on with me here. And this is the name whereby, still speaking about this branch of righteousness unto David, this is the name whereby she shall be called. That's right. She shall be called. Why? Some of your versions, I know, say he. Okay? Well, I'll tell you why they put that there. Because there's no sufficient evidence from any manuscript that the word he is supposed to be there. I'll tell you why. Because they thought, well, wait a minute. This is David. How can it be she? That's a mistake, so we'll put he. That's what they did. I found several places in the Bible that was done. It's reason. You know, people who really trembled at the word of God translated it just exactly what they saw. They didn't go and add their reasoning in there. The point is, this is a branch of David that's called she because we're talking about a corporate body. Anytime you talk about corporate bodies of God's people in the scriptures, they're always called she. Seven women shall take hold of one man, you know. Threescore queens, fourscore concubines, and virgins without number, but my love, my undefiled, is one. You know, he keeps speaking of these corporate bodies of people like queens and concubines and virgins and the bride herself, you know, and so on and so forth. When you're talking about a corporate body, she is it very well fits. You know, the church is a he, but it's also a she. The church is the body of Jesus Christ in the earth today, but also the church is that she, the woman that brings forth the man-child. See? Well, whereby she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Did you notice this? A corporate name has been given to this branch of David that's called a she. Again, she points out that we're talking about a corporate body, but also the Lord our righteousness lets you know that we're talking about a corporate body of people. Okay, I'm going to prove that as we go on even more. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Now, you know that quite a few places, you know, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, Isaiah 32 and verse 2, talks about a corporate man coming forth in these days. And, the man is nothing. It's the one who lives in the man that counts, right? The Lord is coming in an epiphany to be glorified in his saints. First the first fruits, and then the rest of the body of the true church. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to burn meal offerings. Now we know that we are a people of priesthoods. We're all in the priesthood, right? We're priests of God. Verse 19, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, so that there shall not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he shall not have a son to reign upon his throne. Now notice that, folks, we still got day and night, don't we? So there's still David's, right? To rule upon the throne, according to this, and God can't lie, right? And with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the hosts of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sands of the sea measured, listen to this, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant. And the Levites that minister unto me. He's going to multiply the seed of David. That's interesting. Now, again, we're talking about a corporate body. Okay, let me show it to you again. Verse 25. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant of the day and night stand not, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I also cast away the seed of Jacob and of David my servant, so that I will not take of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Rulers, notice, plural. Okay. Now, here's something the Lord showed me, which I think I did a really good job of covering in my book that I'm writing right now, Hidden Manna for the End Times, on our site, America's Last Days. But the Lord showed me that we walk in the steps of our spiritual father. You know, what makes us sons of Abraham? When we walk by the faith of Abraham. That's what Paul taught, right? What would make us a son of David. Well, Jesus was ordained to be the ruler of Israel, Malachi says, meaning that he walked in the steps of David, the father of his natural man, actually. He was of the seed of David, according to the flesh, the Bible says, Romans 1 and 3. Right? And today, I also shared in my book there how the Lord showed me that there are many, many sons of perdition who walk in the steps of their spiritual father, Judas. And the body of Christ has no physical connection to Christ, do they? What is it that the Scripture says about those who abide in Christ? It says they walk as he walked. There's no way you can say you're of the seed of Jesus Christ unless you walk in his steps. Now, my point is that in the New Testament, spiritual Israel still has a David ruling on the throne, except it's a corporate body. These people, they walk in the steps of their spiritual father, David. Okay? Let's go look at something else here. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 23. Share something else with you here. Still concerning this branch of David, more witness, more confirmation to what God's about to do. I want to back up a little bit. Verse 1, it says, "Woe unto the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds that feed my people. You have scattered my flock. You have driven them away, and you have not visited them." Well, what is it to scatter the flock, folks? It means to divide, to separate, and to denominate. You know, the shepherds of New Testament spiritual Israel have definitely divided and scattered the flock. And a sect or a division or a strife, according to the Apostle Paul, is a work of the flesh. God didn't start denominationalism. He prayed that his people would be one, even as he and the Father were one. All right? He said, "Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. And I will set up shepherds," plural, shepherds, "over them who shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be lacking, saith the Lord. For behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch." Now, notice who the shepherds are, the new shepherds, the one that he's going to replace the apostate shepherds with. "I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and shall deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." This is going to be a happy day for God's people, folks. God's going to restore. He's going to bring a complete restoration of God's people, just like Joel said. And one thing he's going to do that is Jesus Christ is coming to be manifested in his leaders. And true Christianity, the unleavened bread for the last 7 days, as we taught further back, is going to be shared. The outpouring of the latter rain is going to be poured out. And great restoration of God's people to the original nature of Christianity. Verse 6, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely." And this is, listen, this is his name whereby he shall be called. Notice here it's a he over there in Jeremiah 33. It was a she whereby he shall be called. Because obviously any corporate body of the body of Christ is both he in one parable and she in the other parable, in another parable. As we know that the body of Christ is described as both in the Scriptures. Because we're looking at parables there, you see. And the name? Jehovah, our righteousness. Again, we're talking about a corporate body. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, as the Lord liveth, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord liveth, who brought up and who led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country." In other words, he's bringing his people back out of Babylon, out of Babylonish captivity to these apostate shepherds that have built a Babylonish system to keep God's people in bondage. That's where God's leading his people. He's delivering his people from bondage in Babylon. Just exactly how this was physically speaking about, right? And from all the countries whither I had driven them. Do you know that all of Christianity is more in bondage to the nations that they live than to the nation that they actually belong to, which is that one holy nation that we belong to, right? And when we learn to walk in our nation, when we walk on the promised land of our nation, the promises represent that promised land, living on the promises, the righteous shall live from faith, then we will be delivered from being in bondage to Babylonish religion, and we will once again walk as the people of God. Let me share something else before we leave here. Verse 16, concerning this leadership that God's going to replace. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They teach you vanity. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say continually unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And unto every one that walketh in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. The Lord hath said, you shall have peace. They speak to people who despise the Lord, people who don't love the truth. God said he was going to send strong delusion upon those that don't love the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And he's done that, folks. He's done it through these apostate shepherds. People that don't love the truth, they won't see through them. They'll submit to them. They'll be in bondage to them. And when they turn against the Lord in these days, as they did in Jesus' day, they'll follow him, the blind leading the blind. Verse 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should perceive and hear his word? Who hath marked my word and heard it? Behold, the tempest of the Lord, even his wrath, is gone forth. Yea, a whirling tempest, it shall burst upon the head of the wicked. And the anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, until he has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, there it is again, we keep running across these latter days, because this is a latter day prophecy. And you got to see it in the spirit, not in the letter. If you see it in the letter, you only think he's talking about natural Israel, but they were the parable for the church. In the latter days, you shall understand it perfectly. I sent not these prophets, yet they ran. I spake not unto them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they caused my people to hear my words and turned them away from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. Well, God is angered against the shepherds in the church. There's a great apostasy out there. They weren't sent of the Lord, just like this text says. They didn't come through the door, they came up another way. Now, the Lord took me one time and showed me these shepherds trying to climb up into the New Jerusalem, into the throne room of the New Jerusalem. He showed me these shepherds trying to come up another way, and Jesus was there, and Jesus spoke to me. And he said, don't worry, they can't come in here. You know, did you notice the shepherds of Israel in Jesus' day, how they had no authority? They wondered why Jesus spoke with authority, because God was in him. And he said the works that he did, that his Father did them in him. In other words, God had come to shepherd his own sheep. He'd come in the body of David, a body of the Son of David, to shepherd his sheep. But the apostate ministers, they didn't know that authority. They were going on their own. And they turned against him. They didn't recognize him. Folks, the same thing is happening in our day. History just repeats. Some of you were with me when I shared a revelation the Lord spoke to me many years ago, and that is that everything that happened in the days of the Gospels and the book of Acts, in the days of Jesus and the disciples, everything that happened in those days is happening again in our days. And history just repeats the things that have been, other things that shall be. And what happened in Jesus' day was the people who had come to leadership before Jesus, who were leading the flock, and who were, of course, stroking the flock and teaching them the same things. You're going to have peace and safety, and just soothing their fears. They were liars. In 70 AD, judgment came upon all those people who believed those ministers and didn't believe in Jesus Christ, and brought judgment, and wrath was poured out, just like this. A whirling tempest, he said, it shall burst upon the head of the wicked. Folks, that's where apostate Christianity is going. They're going into a whirling tempest and great judgment because they've turned away from the Lord God. They've made ministers that were not Levites, as the scripture says. They've raised up people that would tell them what they wanted to hear. You know, smooth preachers that are with ear-tickling doctrines, as of course Peter said was coming in these days. And yet, when the truth is spoken, like it was spoken through Jesus, many of these people are going to turn against them and persecute them mercilessly. There's a great persecution, and it's coming from the apostate church, just like it did in Jesus' day. Coming from the apostate church. It's coming against the leadership. It's coming against the people that believe the leadership that God's going to raise up. God's going to do an awesome thing, an awesome, powerful move of the Spirit. And he's got his man-child that he's about to raise up, and that man-child is none other than his Davids that he's going to raise up. Well, like I said, no man can take credit for that. This is going to be a work of the Lord, but it's going to be a repetition of history, because God cannot depart from history. He would lie the first time he did that. He said, the things that have been are the things that shall be. God, once again, is going to raise up another David ministry. Just like the man-child is a corporate body that walks in the steps of Jesus, the David ministry is a corporate body that's going to walk in the steps of Jesus. One more thing. Isaiah chapter 11. Share this with you. You notice that Jeremiah 33 and Jeremiah 23 was talking about David as though he was the branch that God was going to raise up. They would serve the Lord their God and David their king. We've read that in two different texts. And David was the branch. Well, Isaiah chapter 11, almost everybody thinks that this is speaking about Jesus, but I've gotten so many testimonies that it goes beyond Jesus. You know, the man-child ministry is Jesus. It is Jesus manifested. It is the Word of God manifested in the end times people who have borne the fruit. God's coming first of all in the first fruits, but he's also coming to manifest in the people through the teaching of the first fruits and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that comes through the first fruits, like it did through Jesus, right? Did you know, in Jesus' time, he was the first fruits. He was called that in 1 Corinthians 15. And in Jesus' time, he was the first one to receive the former rain. And when he taught the disciples for 3.5 years, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And so, 10 days later, the former rain came upon the disciples. Well, the same thing is going to happen in our days, folks. Is for 3.5 years, there's going to be a ministry that's going to raise up disciples. It's going to be the David ministry. And at the end of that time, the latter rain is going to be poured out. But at the beginning of that 3.5 years, that first fruits ministry, who's already received an education from the Lord and walked in what they've seen, they're going to receive that anointing like Jesus did at the beginning of his ministry. They're going to receive that anointing, except this time it's going to be the latter rain anointing. And 3.5 years later, after teaching the disciples, sending out two witnesses all over the world, this corporate body of people is going to pass on that mantle, kind of like Elijah passed on his mantle to Elisha. Same thing. That's a parable of it right there. So he's going to breathe on them and say, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Except this time, it's going to be a greater anointing than the former rain. The latter rain is greater. Read Joel chapter 2. And all over the world, there's going to be people walking, and they're going to call them Christians because they walk and talk and have the power of Jesus Christ. In the scriptures, that's why they were called Christians to begin with, because they walk in his steps. And now God is going to return his people to walk in his steps. Okay? Isaiah chapter 11. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse. You know, a stock is a cut down stump, right? Out of the stock of Jesse. And a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. Well, here's the branch again. Who is the root? Well, according to Revelation 22 and 16, Jesus said, I am the root of David. I am the root and the offspring of David. And in this particular text, in chapter 11 and verse 10, you can recognize Jesus, who is also called the root here. It shall come to pass in that day that the root of Jesse, that standeth for the ensign of the peoples, unto him shall the nations seek, and his resting place shall be glorious. Kind of recognize that as Jesus, don't you? Well, so we've discovered here that the root is Jesus, but the branch that comes out of that root is the first fruits in this day that's bearing that fruit of Jesus. And it says, and he shall bear fruit. Verse 1. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Notice that God said that this Spirit would rest upon him. Who can take credit for what God does? You know, even, we pointed out the other night, even Saul, when the Holy Spirit came on him, he was turned into another man. Could he take credit for that new man? Nope. And when he rebelled and God took that Spirit from him, he became just another demon-possessed man. You see, man can't take any credit for what God's doing. This is what he's chosen to do. And like the Apostle Paul said, I am what I am through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's grace, folks. It's grace. So this great Spirit of counsel and might and Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord is going to rest upon the branch of David. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Actually, the word delight here is the word scent in the Hebrew. Scent, smell, not S-E-N-T, S-C-E-N-T, smell. You know that smell is a discernment that doesn't come by hearing or seeing. In other words, people that don't, it's not walking by sight or hearing. It's walking by an unseen discernment, so to speak. And his scent shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. There it is. Scent is not by natural means of hearing and seeing. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. Now you say, that's smiting the earth with the rod of his mouth. That sounds a lot like Jesus, right? Well, actually, let me tell you that if you remember in Isaiah 61, Jesus split a verse right down the middle when he quoted it in the New Testament. And I'm going to read it to you, too, so you can understand what I'm saying. It's like Jesus didn't quite finish his ministry. And he came as a lamb, but as most of you have heard, he's coming as a lion. Isaiah 61 and verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which is also the word for grace, and the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus didn't quote that part. He left it out. Split the verse right down the middle. Well, did you know that Jesus is coming as a lamb? And one of the judgments that we studied a while back was the white horse rider. And we discovered that first judgment in the tribulation period was not the Antichrist, as most people have said. but it is instead the man-child ministry or the David ministry. And it's going to be the first judgment upon mankind, the first judgment of the tribulation period. Why is it a judgment? Because Jesus is truly coming to be manifested and to finish a ministry that he started. You know, he came as a lamb, but he's coming as a lion. And when it says here, I want to point out to you a verse in Revelation chapter 2, verse, I believe it's 27. Let me see. I want to prove to you that when Jesus comes again, he's not coming in his original body first, at the beginning of the tribulation period. He's coming in his corporate body. Revelation 2 and verse 26. He that overcometh and he that keepeth my works unto the end. Notice, unto the end. That's the end time, folks, right? To him will I give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. There it is right there. As the vessels of a potter are broken to shivers, as I also have received of my Father. Notice, this is somebody else. This is not talking about Jesus. He said, as I also received of my Father. In other words, overcomers in these days are going to have the ministry that Jesus had. Of course, he said that in John 14 and 12, didn't he? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. All right? Well, so who is this that's going to smite the earth with the rod of his mouth? It's the ones in whom Jesus is manifested in these days, at the beginning of the tribulation period. It's going to be this branch. It's going to be the David ministry. You know, I got a confirmation of this. I'd been teaching this for years, but I had a man that didn't know I was teaching this, got a revelation, and he phoned me with it. And in he saw a vision. And in his vision, he saw me. And he said, David, he said, I saw you in my vision. He said, I spoke to you in the vision, and I said, you remind me of somebody that I read about in Isaiah. He said, then you quoted Isaiah chapter 11. You said, yeah, I know that person, Isaiah chapter 11, and I quoted from 1 through 5 to him. You know, this guy was telling me that there's going to be some people in these days that's going to walk this way because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be some people that walk this way in these days. Most of the church reads this and they say, well, that can't be anybody but Jesus. Well, it is nobody but Jesus. But did you follow with me that Jesus is coming as an epiphany before he comes as a parousia? Did you realize that that's what the scriptures is teaching, that he's coming in his people before he comes for his people? And the first fruits are going to be the first fruits of Jesus Christ. Fruit is Christ himself. You know, when he poured, when he sowed the seed in the parable of the sower, the seed being the sperma, the Greek word sperma, that seed that he sowed in the hearts of men brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. You know, folks, the fruit that comes from the sperma is the fruit of the one that sowed it. The fruit that's born in us is Jesus himself, called Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you read Isaiah chapter 11, you say, that's Jesus. I agree with you. It's Jesus. And the flesh profits nothing. Now, that's what Jesus said. We're not talking about glorifying any man here. We're talking about Jesus himself coming in his people, which he promised to do. And we also studied that the Antichrist leaders would not profess that Jesus Christ is coming in flesh. The apostate leaders of our day, they will not agree that Jesus is coming in flesh. Of course, Jesus is not coming in his own flesh. He's coming in the flesh of his people, as he promised to do. So yes, it is Jesus, but it also, this is the branch of David that God is raising up in these days. I've had many confirmations of this, people that didn't know this doctrine. You know, when I first came, I'm not saying this to glorify me, I'm saying this to share something with you, because I'm nobody and I know it, okay? What I see God do through me, I'm just awed, you know, and I'm just humbled because I know I am nothing and can do nothing without him, you know. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But when I first came to this city, I ran into a ministry that was basically an apostate ministry. I mean, the guy wasn't teaching the truth. He wasn't teaching the word. The poor sheep were starving to death. And when I walked the first time I walked into this church, God sent me there. I walked into this church, and when I walked through the back door, there was a prophetess up there sitting right by the pastor. And this prophetess suddenly stood up and whirled around and pointed her finger right straight at me. And she just prophesied a blue streak. I tell you, it was just awesome. You know, things that I'd heard before out of prophets, too. And she just said, I see the word of God manifested in that man more than I've ever seen, and so on. She just went on and on and on. So everybody was looking at me like, whoa, who is this guy, you know? Well, little did I know the Lord was opening a door here for them to respect me so that I could share some word there, and it wouldn't be hindered by the pastor. So I started sharing some word there. And the sheep were just so happy. They were just so happy to get some word because the pastor didn't know the word. He was one of those people that was thrust into the ministry because he had a lot of natural gifts. He was actually he sang and played the guitar in the Black Sabbath at one time. And it seemed like he kept a lot of his demons with him when he came into the ministry, you know. There are a lot of people that are in the ministry because of natural gifts, not because of spiritual gifts, because they're charismatic, so to speak, you know. Well, this guy just, you know, after this prophecy, he just invited me to preach, so I started preaching, and actually he started backing out of ministering, and I said to him one day, I says, well, aren't you going to preach anymore? He said, no, I feel kind of dried up, and I thought to myself, praise God, you know, it's a good thing to dry you up because you're not doing anything here, you know, and what you are teaching is a lie. And so I started teaching, and I ended up baptizing most of his church because he'd never baptized them, you know. Didn't believe, evidently he wasn't impressed with baptism, you know. So I started doing that, and ended up taking over his radio ministry. And you know, this man came to me three times. He said, David, I don't know what this means, but God told me that I'm Saul and you're David. I thought, oh, doesn't take a lot of deep thought to figure something out there, you know, but I didn't say anything to him. I was very quiet about it. I just, you know, thought that's interesting, you know. And he came to me again a little while later, and he said, David, it happened to me again. The Lord came to me and said, I'm Saul and you're David. And then he did it a third time. I'm Saul, and you're David. Well, I knew what he was talking about because the man was rebellious. He was going his own way. He wasn't serving God. He was serving himself. He was building his own kingdom, you know. The thing was, it was crumbling because he wasn't really serving God. It was crumbling. And so after that, the Lord spoke to me about that, the thing about I'm moving the Sauls out of the way and making room for the Davids. The Lord explained it to me. But there's a generation, folks, of Sauls, of Saul ministers. You know, let me tell you that right after he spoke that to me, there was a whole line of famous ministers in America that got caught in their sins. And if you know, if I mention them, every one of you would know who I'm talking about. Matter of fact, in the morning that the Lord spoke that to me, that I'm moving the Sauls out of the way and I'm making room for the Davids, and you're one of my Davids. That evening is when the first minister got caught and was on the national news. And then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And I knew exactly what the Lord was saying. There's a generation of ministers. They're all considered famous, but they're a generation of ministers that they're not doing things God's way, like Saul was. And not only that, they will persecute a David just like Saul did. They will persecute David. I mean, David was a nobody, you know? And today, there's a generation of ministry that persecutes the Davids that are in our midst. And there's a multitude of these Davids all around the world, folks. They're all over the world right now. God's preparing to bring these people out of the wilderness, and they're nobodies. All of them are nobodies. Nobody knows them. They got no strength of their own. Their strength comes from God by grace. And God's preparing to raise up this leadership for God's people. Oh, yeah, they've been walking with the Lord. They've loved the Lord. They haven't fallen away. They've run after the Lord and served Him. But the anointing's about to come.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus.